May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18.
Thank you. This evening I would like us to read together from the book of Psalms, Psalms 27, 57 and 63, and then also the last chapter, chapter 14 of the prophecy of Hosea. We begin with Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then turning on to Psalm 57, Psalm 57, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Then Psalm 63. Psalm 63. O God, that thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. For the king shall rejoice in God, every one that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And then lastly, from the prophecy of Hosea, reading the last chapter, chapter 14, Hosea chapter 14. Hosea was the only prophet of whose prophecy we have a record in the scripture who spoke directly to the northern kingdom of Israel, or sometimes called Samaria. Chapter 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. May God bless his own precious and holy word to us and help us all to pray. Heavenly Father, once again in thy mercy we are spared to come up again for the time of the evening service. Lord, we know that throughout the earth there will have been thousands taken into eternity in the interval between our services. Oh Lord, in thy mercy we come once again. Our lives are lengthened out for another opportunity to meet together in thy house and around thy word. Oh gracious God, as we none of us know whether this might be the last time we do such a thing, oh Lord, we do pray that it may not be because of our sin and the hardness of our heart, a wasted opportunity. Gracious God, gracious God, we pray that thou wilt bring each one aright, and if any have not come with a right spirit, Lord, that thou wilt during the time of the service give that right spirit. Oh Lord, we come and we go, and we would, as it were, never be absent from our accustomed place. And yet, Lord, how much reality is there in our hearts? Oh, we beg of thee, Lord, that none may be left to rest just in the conformance to the traditions and the outward appearance. Lord, it is a good thing to come and attend the services. And, oh, Lord, may there be that real hunger and thirst when we come. Oh, that our hearts shall come with prayer. Prayer for our own soul. Prayer for one another. Prayer for the one that brings some message from the Lord to us. Oh, Lord, how we do need that holding up of one another in prayer. Lord, we thank thee where it is so, and Lord, we acknowledge thy goodness. Oh, we pray, Lord, that no soul here this evening or who may be listening in from their own home or wherever else they might be, Lord, that none might be unmoved by thy word, that none, Lord, may be cold and indifferent to thee. Lord, we've seen that very stark message on the poster on the outside, that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Lord, we know that's in more than one place, but in Psalm 14 it then follows that God looketh down, looketh down from heaven and sees such souls. Oh Lord, that unbelief, that denial of God makes no difference to thee. Thou art still in heaven. Thou art still beholding the earth and the souls of mankind. Oh Lord, if any soul is careless and indifferent, perhaps would not dare say outwardly that they do not believe in God, that there is no God, and yet have no personal knowledge of God. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt deal with such souls, that it may be it may be a time when thou wilt look down from heaven upon that soul. Oh Lord, that thou wilt be mindful of thy dead elect. May it not be a time, Lord, for thee to arise and to work, to call by thy grace souls that may yet be in darkness and unbelief. Lord, that thou wilt deliver them into the marvellous light of thy gospel. Lord, let thy gospel shine this night, we do pray. Lord, that thou wilt speak into many hearts, Lord, not just about the call by grace, but, Lord, that deepening of thy work. How, Lord, we feel we often go so long without any further growth in grace or in our knowledge of thee, our Lord and our Saviour. Lord, even if we can say that with sincerity, that thou art our Lord and our Saviour. Oh Lord, how we need that reviving of thy work within our own hearts, that stirring up. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou wilt graciously remember each one for good. Lord, we often have to pray that prayer of Nehemiah, remember me, O Lord, for good. Sometimes, Lord, thou knowest, we don't know exactly how to pray or what to pray for, but we must ask thee for those good things, the things that thou seest are good. Lord, we would plead before thee thine own word that tells us no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Lord, may there be that real exercise in our hearts this evening. Am I walking uprightly in the sight of God? Lord, no doubt the people generally that see us would say we do walk uprightly. They might even admire that the strength of character, as it were, and the integrity and the absence of outward sins. But Lord, they cannot look upon the heart as thou dost look. Oh Lord, we pray for more grace. We pray for strength daily to be given to us each, that we may walk uprightly. Lord, we are required to be a light in a dark world. And Lord, do we truly bring that light that we should? Do we shine forth as examples of true Christianity? Oh Lord, we need much help. We need thee truly, as we consider briefly this morning, to dwell in us, Lord, that we might feast upon thee, that we might dwell in thee and thou dwell in us. Oh Lord, we thank thee for thy word that teaches us about these things, but we know without thee we can do nothing. We need that teaching of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Lord, in thy mercy, look down upon each one for good, then we pray. Lord, do remember all that are absent for whatever reason. Though we know there are some away on holiday, Lord, do bless them with rest and a refreshing change, and in due time do bring them back again in peace and in safety. May they be much benefited from their break. Others, Lord, with the care of the young, we do pray for them, and that thou wilt remember them where they are and bless them. Do remember indeed the young. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful to see whether they are babies or toddlers or older children or young people. Oh, Lord, it is such a blessing. To see them in thy house. Lord, do work in their souls, that they have a love to thy house, that they might join in with the psalmist as we've read, to have that great desire that they might dwell in the house of God. Lord, what a privilege. We know we're not physically in thy house very much of the week, but Lord, to have that spirit that remains, as it were, in thy house, in thy presence. Lord, do grant that thy presence may go with us, that we might truly find grace in thy sight. Lord, we do pray for those that do come from time to time, and Lord, we do pray that there may be that exercise in their heart to come more regularly, that they might, Lord, be brought to find that here in this place and in other houses of God that they find food for their souls. Oh, Lord, do bless any seeking souls, perhaps that not yet at rest, as it were, as to where they should settle down. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily. Oh, Lord, even in our small villages, there are so many people that could fill the place of worship over and over again. And yet, Lord, we all have the vacancies. Lord, may it please thee to arise and work for thine own name's sake, that there might be glory and honour to thy name, souls testifying of thy goodness, what the Lord has done for them. And, oh Lord, that we might then rejoice with those that rejoice and add our voice of praise and of thanksgiving unto thee. Lord, we do acknowledge all that thou hast done, and we commit this to thee. We know we cannot entice them in, as it were. There is nothing to appeal to the flesh in our services. Oh, Lord, do thou move them by the power of thy Spirit to come in. Compel them, Lord, to come in. May they find that the gospel is indeed a feast for their souls. Lord, we do pray for thy word as it goes out through all the nations of the earth. Lord, that those same truths of thy gospel might be proclaimed in every language and dialect. We pray for thy blessing upon the work of the faithful translation and distribution of thy word. Oh, Lord, what a responsibility that is. We know the very subtle nuances of different words in our own language, and Lord, that responsibility to put these things into another language and convey the right meaning and the depth and the power. Oh, Lord, do be their helper and their guide in all these things. Lord, we do pray once again for those who suffer for thy name's sake. Oh, Lord, that thou wilt be mindful of them. Thou wilt draw near to them even this evening. Those who are persecuted because of their faith. Oh, Lord, if that is truly a faith given by thee, then man will not ever be able to extinguish it. Oh, Lord, we know they may come into very difficult times, and Lord, we pray that they also may shelter in the shadow of thy wings, that thou wilt be a refuge, a protection unto them. Oh, Lord, a strong tower to which the righteous resort. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bring peace again in those places that are torn by warfare. We think especially of the Ukraine, but Lord, there are other places around the world still where there is so much of man's ambition and aggression and hatred. Oh Lord, what havoc sin does wrought throughout all the earth. Oh Lord, in thy mercy, do bring peace in those areas, we pray. Lord, we pray that we, though in thy mercy delivered from those things outwardly, that we might be brought to consider the loss of all our earthly possessions. What would that mean to us? Lord, do we have a treasure that is in heaven that cannot be destroyed by the shells and the bombs and the explosions, something that is beyond the reach of man? Or is our all upon this earth? Oh Lord, if that is so for any, we do pray that thou wilt deliver them from any hope and any trust for the things that are perishing. Oh, Lord, even if we retain those things to the end of our life, we will not take them with us. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can take nothing out. Lord, we've seen those graves in our own village of those who thought they would take their possessions out with them, their weapons and their pots of food and a horse to carry them. And Lord, we see that they're still there, buried in the earth. And oh Lord, how solemn is that teaching? It is, it is certain we can carry nothing out. Lord, we pray that thou'll make us diligent seekers after treasures in heaven, that we might seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, those gospel blessings. Lord, let this be our ambition here below. So, Lord, we do pray that thou would help us as we consider thy word once again. Lord, we have to pray again, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, they are there, the many wondrous things throughout thy word from cover to cover. And yet, Lord, often we are blind to these things, or we are in darkness of soul and we cannot see them. Oh, Lord, in thy mercy, give us light, shine upon thy word, give us sight, open our eyes. Lord, we do pray thou wilt make thy word a real blessing this night, to the glory and the honour of thine own holy name. Lord, we pray for the pardon of our sin. Lord, how great is the sum of our sins individually. How great the sum of the sins of all that are here present. Oh Lord, how many of those sins were laid upon thee. Oh, thou knowest for whom thou didst suffer. Oh Lord, but for those for whom thou didst suffer, it was for all of their sin. We thank thee and bless thee, Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, Lord, where would we be without that gospel word? So do come and impress it upon our hearts this evening. Lord, forgive anything we ask amiss or that we fail to ask for. We would commit to thee, Lord, every silent prayer. Oh, how needful, Lord, it is to have a time of prayer in the middle of our service, not a time, as we well remember in our youth, to switch off completely, to stop listening. But, Lord, a time to be engaged personally with our God. Lord, do hear each one that has cried unto thee at this time, whatever their need might be, whatever the petition that they have put up unto thee. Lord, do show to them that thou art a prayer-hearing and answering God. We would ask it all in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1105. Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Hymn 1105.
Thank you.
Seeking the Lord's much needed help, I would direct our thoughts this evening to Psalm 63 and in particular verse 7. Psalm 63 and verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. The heading of this psalm of David tells us that it was written in a time of particular need for David in the wilderness of Judah. I take it at a time when Saul was seeking after David's life, and he turns to God. But the particular point, if nothing else that I say remains with you, the particular point I feel we must emphasize in this verse is the way that David looks back upon what God has been to him, and on the basis of that he looks forward in confidence into the future, that he will yet be protected and he will have cause to rejoice in that protection. I feel personally, you must judge for yourselves, but I feel personally very remiss really in not considering what God has done. We can get so bound up in the current trial, the current difficulty, and we approach God as if we didn't really have any prior knowledge of him. We don't really know what to expect from him. We're not sure, as if it's our first time ever coming to God. And I believe that is very remiss. I certainly feel it is for me. As I say, you consider your own case. But we find time and time again in the scriptures, and especially in the prayers that are recorded in the scripture, how one comes to God and I'll say reminds, but of course God doesn't really forget in the sense that we do, but reminds God of what he has previously done or what he has previously said. And it is on the strength of that knowledge that they look forward, they commit the future to God. What a wonderful foundation that is for everyone that has some knowledge and experience of God, because God doesn't change. So if in your last trouble, as it were, your last problem, you turned to God and he brought some answer to that, whatever that may have been, or delivered you in some way from that difficulty, why, when you come again with the next problem, why do we think he will be any different? The scripture is very clear, isn't it? There is no change with God. If God was changeable, really, I say it carefully, but I do think it's true, we would have no basis for our faith, would we? If God behaved as we personally behave, fickle and changeable, we couldn't ever trust him. We could never have faith in him, because he might be different the next time we go to him. But the scripture is so very clear, isn't it? I change not, says God. Many other words you can probably think of yourselves that show God is unchanging in all his character. And so here, it was so impressed on my mind as I was led to this verse yesterday morning, because this is the reason that David can look forward to the future. Yes, he's in trouble. Yes, he's fleeing from Saul. Yes, he's in the wilderness, as he says, a dry and thirsty land. He's not comfortable. He's not happy. But because God has previously been his help, therefore, he says, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. In the future, my deliverance is sure, my salvation is sure. Yes, he didn't know the way of the deliverance, he didn't know how God would act, as it were, but he was sure that this was the same God who had previously been his help. Now, initially, it is this word shadow that drew my thoughts to this verse. We have obviously experienced and are at this moment experiencing a real heat wave. Temperatures, was it a week or so ago, certainly the highest in the memory for almost all of us, for over 40 years, I think it was. Over 40 degrees we had at home on our thermometer. And how, what a wonderful blessing it is to be in the shade, in the shadow, when the burning power of the sun shines upon us. What a mercy to be able to get out of the sun into the shade. And it was this that drew me, and as we shall see, there are a number of verses I want to draw your attention to. But of course, it's not just about the literal sun, but the sun in Scripture is very often used, isn't it, to show the heat of it may be persecutions, it may be trials, temptations, the power that overwhelms us. If we were without any shade, without the shadow, it would be too much for us. You may be in such a place at this time. I obviously don't know how you are at this time individually, but maybe you feel the sun's burning power, as it were, these many difficulties and trials, you don't know where to turn. How wonderful to find shadow, find shade, protection, refuge, safekeeping, all these things, they're bound up in this word, in God. Because if these are matters of the soul, you'll never find that protection, that shadow anywhere else. In the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I would just say, because it struck me very powerfully, I read some while ago, you may have read it yourselves, I think it was in one of the magazines, either Cheering Words or The Friendly Companion, a farmer had many chickens, as I recall the story, but he had a terrible fire in the chicken shed, and the great majority, if not all, of the chickens died because of the fire. And as he was clearing up afterwards, he came across another burned carcass of a hen, but when he lifted it up, underneath the wings of that hen were some chicks, and they had survived the fire because they were in the shadow of her wings. She had really, I don't know whether we could say consciously or not, or by instinct, but she had given her life to protect her chicks. She had sheltered them with her wings when she herself was experiencing the burning power, in that case, of course, not of the sun, but of the fire. And that was a very beautiful, very powerful illustration that one remembers. In the shadow of thy wings, when the fire of trials, temptations, difficulties is too much, is overwhelming to me, to be sheltered in the wings, as it were, of God. Now, as I say, the psalmist David, he's known these things before, hasn't he? He's known what the help of God is in the past. And he knows that God will not give him up. So may the Lord help us just to look at a few things concerning this word then. I would begin by this. Do you feel the need of God's safekeeping? Do you feel the sun, as it were, burning down, whatever that form is? I won't elaborate upon that. If you feel that, you will know what your particular trials are at this time. But do you feel the need to have some safety from it, some deliverance? We read Psalm 57. It begins. This is another psalm of David, and again we're told the occasion of it, and again it was when he was fleeing from King Saul. That's very striking, isn't it, how much David learned from that time of persecution. This was not, I say it carefully, but it was not wasted upon David. You think of that word, I hadn't thought to mention this, but in Hebrews chapter 12, isn't it? No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Well, David could certainly say that, and I dare say you can, and I can. But can we, and David clearly could, can we go on? Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's very evident from these psalms, isn't it, that David was exercised by these trials that came upon him. He didn't just put up a hard heart, a stiff upper lip, if you will, and just say, well, I'm just going to endure it, and eventually it will stop. It brought David to much exercise of soul. Brought David closer to his God, didn't it? And oh, when tribulations are working right in our hearts, it will bring us closer to our God. Doesn't mean that the persecution, whatever that is, will necessarily go away. But what a wonderful thing to come in the heat of that moment into the shadow of the Lord's wings. Now, David here then begins Psalm 57 with this great cry from his heart, doesn't he? Did it strike a chord with your heart this evening? Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I'm thankful that at this part, this verse of the scripture doesn't elaborate on what those calamities are, in case we should then be tempted to think that God could only deliver in that particular circumstance. But no, whatever the calamity, whatever the difficulty, where the soul is brought with this prayer, be merciful to me, O God. But you see, David needs fresh mercy there. He needs another deliverance. But he can say, for my soul trusteth in thee. This is a prayer of faith, isn't it? And again, how trying are those words of James in his epistle, that if we pray without faith, we should not expect answers. Maybe that doesn't try you, but it certainly tries me. How often I pray, and probably, dare I say it, say the right words, or if they're in my heart, think the right thoughts, but do I really believe it? Can I, like David, come both with this plea for further mercy, but on the strength that I do trust in God? And you have it here, don't you? Again, that looking to the future. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. This refuge will not be denied to me. God will not turn away. God will not, I go back to that illustration, forgive me, but God will not fold his wings up and walk off and leave the chicks to burn. I will make my refuge in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Boaz said to Ruth, didn't he, the concern, not one I'd intended to refer to, I don't like to get the words wrong. It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. The wrong verse. He says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Oh, is that true of us here this evening? We have come to trust in that protection, that shelter, that deliverance that God alone can give, under the wings of the Almighty. It's a figure, an illustration that Isaiah takes up in a number of places in his prophecy. And just to turn to two of them in chapter 25, he says in verse 4 there, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." But notice how that chapter begins. If you've turned it up, I'll read it anyway. But you see, in our text, there is this connection, looking back, looking forward, but those two things giving cause for rejoicing, giving cause for praise to God. They're not to be left in silence. This is not something only to consider in the heart. This is something to praise God aloud for. And if you go back to chapter 25 in Isaiah, it begins, "O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." He goes on with various other illustrations and then comes to that. "Thou hast been a shadow from the heat." Oh, is there this desire in our hearts to praise God for it? That noble song that we sang. Perhaps I should have said at the beginning, but one of these great fiery trials really is the consideration of our sin, isn't it? Oh, is that a burden? Is it a trial? I must not take that for granted. It's not a trial to the great majority of mankind, is it? But is it to you? Is it a fiery trial? Oh, the burden of my sin. Where can I find a refuge? Where can I find a shelter? as I face the fire, the heat of hell, as it were. Oh, it's so easy to say that we deserve hell and that God would be quite just in condemning us to hell. So easy to say it. I wonder how often we really feel and have any understanding at all of what hell is like. We won't, praise God, if we're delivered, if we're saved, we won't ever know what it's really like. I don't think our human mind could can comprehend it. But do you have any idea? It's not something to be said lightly, that I deserve hell. It's true, but we shouldn't pretend it unless we really feel it. What a deliverance. But you see, the shadow from the heat can only be found in God. This is very clear again when in chapter 32 of Isaiah's prophecy, he again uses a similar expression in verse 2. And especially, I think this is a prophecy directly of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Some 730 or 750 thereabouts years before it was to come to pass. But Isaiah, in faith and inspired by the Holy Spirit, he looks to the coming of Jesus. And he says in verse 2, and a man, well, not just a man, the God-man, the Messiah, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, do you know what it is to dwell at times in this weary land? I was very struck this morning. We went for a walk very early in the morning, and looking at the plants around, how they look so weary. You couldn't think of a better word, really. They're dried up, they're shriveled, aren't they? We looked at the elderberries and how small they are. They're not swelling. They're tiny, shriveled things. The hawberries already coming out, likewise, very hard and very small. And the plants themselves so drooping, aren't they, and limp. What a weary land. What a weary land. I noticed on the grass verge, which, like I suppose most of our lawns and so on, it is completely dried and brown. But I notice one patch on the grass verge that is still green. And I couldn't quite work it out to begin with. But as we looked at it from various angles, we could see that it is a place that is almost all the day in the shadow. In the shadow. It's had no more rainfall on it than anywhere else, but it's had protection from the burning heat of the sun. And it's surviving, it's green, where the rest of the grass has died. Oh, a man shall be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. If you turned to the Lord in your trouble, in your distress, whether it is your sin or whatever that heat and that burden is, oh, to turn to the Lord. I love that chapter 14 in Hosea's prophecy. If ever there is the gospel that shines forth in the Old Testament, it's in this chapter, isn't it? O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. There's no covering it up. There's no excuse to be made to Israel, is it? It's not to say, well, you didn't mean it. It's not really your fault. No. All these prophecies, a great part of the message is to expose the sin of the people, isn't it? And to charge home to them their own personal responsibility for their sin. Thou, this is an individual word, isn't it? Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. But they are not to be without hope, are they? Although this charge, as the Spirit of God uses this prophecy to drive it home in the hearts of those that heard it, they feel the conviction of that sin. They acknowledge that justice that I've already spoken of, but they're not without hope, are they? Oh, we should ever remember this. The gospel is a message that brings hope. It's not without hope. They had greatly fallen. They had turned from God. They'd taken up with idols. They had committed spiritual adultery. It's quite a strong expression, isn't it? But it's used throughout these minor prophets that they had committed adultery against God. They had been married to God, as it were. They were God's people, but they had rejected him and they'd taken up with other gods. Maybe some of them would have abhorred the thought of literal adultery, but they were committing it in their heart against God. Oh, we need to be very careful. We can be so proud of our outward appearance, but what's your heart like? Is there adultery in your heart against God? Anything that comes between us and God is making an idol, isn't it? When we have idols, we're committing adultery against God. But you see, they're not to be without hope. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Oh, here is true repentance, isn't it, set forth. But what I love about this as well, and you may feel, as I have felt sometimes, it's all very well. I know I ought to turn to the Lord. I do have a spirit of repentance, but what can I say? I don't know what to say. What would be acceptable to God? Well, there's cause for rejoicing here, isn't there? He even tells us what to say. Now, I don't mean that we can just repeat this parrot fashion, but he tells us what must be the feeling of our heart, doesn't he? Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that is, with unmerited favour. So will we render the calves of our lips. Very briefly, the calves that are mentioned in Scripture, they're very distinct from the general herds that they had, which were kept only for eating purposes. The calves are those animals selected and kept in pens and fed much better than the others that wandered around, and they were there for the sacrifices. They were there for the to be used in the praise and the worship of God. And we need to understand that. So will we render the calves of our lips. In other words, our lips are being prepared to serve God. Are your lips, are mine, serving God? Is there that spirit, yes, of repentance, of confession of our sin, turning to the Lord, but then also of praise to God, thankfulness for what he has done. Now, you see in verse 3 there, they make this plain declaration. We've tried all these other things and there've been no help to us. There's no salvation in turning to Asher or to horses. We won't say we realise that our idols are just the work of our own hands. There's no life in them. There's no power. There's no spirit. It's only in thee, as they turn to God, it's only in thee that the fatherless findeth mercy. And then, we find what a welcome there is. We find these wings. I keep that illustration in our minds. We find these wings of God being extended to offer them shelter. This is God's reply, isn't it? I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Oh, that anger that was turned away from the sinner, the one that is saved by God's grace, was laid upon Christ, wasn't it? Oh, that man that is the shadow of a great rock, it was poured out upon him. God's sense of justice and holiness could not permit the sins of his people just to be ignored. The sins of his people are just as offensive to God as ever any sin is by any unbeliever. We should remember that. Never think of our own sin as something light just because we have a hope in the mercy of God. It's a terrible thing. Just as offensive to God. But if the Lord should say to one here, more than one, to all of us, if it please him, mine anger is turned away. Yes, it was turned away and laid upon Christ. And then I want to just move then to verse 7. Wonderful that is. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive. That's what made me think of that grass verge. The reviving of that grass where it was in the shadow. They shall not be left in this backsliding, rebellious condition. The Lord will revive his work in their soul. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. In the scriptures, Lebanon is used as a word, an illustration for particular fruitfulness and blessing, isn't it? If you look on a map, you'll see Lebanon is situated in what is called today the Fertile Crescent. It's a crescent-shaped area in the Middle East where there is much more fruitfulness than is generally found in the Middle East. And Lebanon, clearly it was so in Bible times as well, and Lebanon is used often as that illustration of strength and power and fruitfulness. Oh, they shall return, they shall revive. The Lord will build them up again. Now, if we've known these things, have you known these things? Or is it your desire to come again into the shadow of the Almighty? Well, if we've known those things, we shall come in with Solomon, where he says in the Song of Solomon, I sat down under his shadow with great delights. Oh, can you go back in your history, in your experience, and say, yes, I can remember at that time, in that particular circumstance, how delighted I was to be able to sit down in the or under the shadow of God's, sheltered from the wrath of God, sheltered from my troubles, sheltered from mine enemies, with his safe keeping. Isn't that a delight? As I said before, you won't find it anywhere else, not these spiritual troubles and trials. But what a delight. And his fruit was sweet to my taste. I think there's a connection there really with our thoughts this morning concerning that gospel feast that is prepared for the people of God. His fruit. This was a time of rest, certainly, of refuge, seeking of refuge, but it was also a time of sweetness as the bride here feeds upon that which the bridegroom has provided. His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house. Oh, not just a little miserly provision, but a banquet. If we'd had time to develop our thoughts more this morning concerning the Lord's Supper, I hope some did think of that this afternoon, but it's a feast, isn't it? It's only a little bit of bread and it's only a sip of wine, but it's a feast to the soul that comes rightly to it. We shall be filled with that blessing of God. It may not literally fill our stomach, but oh, what a feast it is. A banqueting house. He brought me to it. I didn't choose to come. I didn't of my own free will decide this would be a good place to go. But he brought me to it. That, therefore, what a cause for thankfulness. What a cause for rejoicing in God. He brought me to the banqueting house. And his banner over me was love. Time forbids us to dwell upon that, but I just remind you that the banners of the rich and the powerful, I believe from my limited research, it was so in the Middle East, it was certainly so in our country when they went forth to war. The Lord would choose to go on his banner something that he wanted people to associate with him. So you have the many lions where they wanted to inspire fear. They wanted people to think, well, this Lord is a very fierce and powerful warrior. You have bears on many of the banners. Again, a formidable opponent. Sometimes they would have horses to emphasize the swiftness with which they would pursue their enemies. All those things, the banner said something about that man, or at least in those cases that they wanted people to think of them. And the banner of God is love. And that's so very true, isn't it? God is love. Oh, his banner over me, sheltering me, protecting me, aligning me with that particular Lord. This God is our God. His banner over me was love. Now, we read in Psalm 27, didn't we? Oh, there are many similar thoughts in verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now, because of that deliverance, now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I'm not passing by in silence his delivering mercy. I've come into the shadow of his wings, and I'm going to make it clear to all. I will praise the name of God who has done this for me. And then again, in verse 9 of that psalm, thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Oh, the looking back, the looking forward. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Again, this is a psalm of David. I wasn't conscious of that. I must admit that when I was led to these different psalms, that they were all psalms of David, but it's quite striking. Yes, our loved ones, even father and mother, must eventually forsake us, but then the Lord will take me up. Then the Lord will be my refuge, my strength, my shadow. Oh, is there this desire in your heart to rejoice in this? If you feel the power of it, you won't be able to keep silent. It must be spoken out, must be proclaimed. I will sing. I will lift up my voice to the honour of God. There's no danger, if we're doing this rightly, of boasting or of conceit, is there? Because it's what God has done. In our text, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Not I will rejoice that I was so clever to come here, or I was so powerful that I didn't need the help of God. There's something very humble there, isn't there? I needed refuge. I needed a place of shade from these burning trials. And I found it in God, and therefore I give God the praise and the glory. David has nothing to say about himself at all, does he? Other than, this is what God has done for me. It's all to the glory of God. Another psalm, Psalm 9, it says this: I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Oh, there's so much in the scripture, isn't there, about a whole heart. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Never be contented with being half-hearted in any aspect of religion, in anything spiritual. It must be always wholehearted. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvellous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. Well, may God give us that spirit of praise, of rejoicing, even as he leads us into the shadow of his wings. May he help us to ever remember what he has done for us as the foundation for our looking forward. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and would the praying members come ready to give out a hymn, please? Mr. Graham Hanley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning. Mr. Timothy Barker will preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 1009. Lord, I approach thy throne of grace, where mercy does abound, desiring mercy for my sin, to heal my soul's deep wound. Hymn 1009.
hymn. Or may we not sing these things thoughtlessly. May it really be that craving of our soul to desire thy mercy. And Lord, we pray thou wilt lead us to shelter under thy wings. Lord, there is complete protection. There is a certainty of deliverance and of salvation with thee. Oh, may that mercy, Lord, come to me. May the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.